Mark's a really great guy. He's worked really, really hard, and I think that we're going to surprise some people. I don't know where we'll be picked in the league, but I think that we're going to surprise some teams this year. He's really doing a good job with the squad.
Before we let you go, we've got one question from the audience, and since you're not going to get to be here later on, the question is, what are some of the long-term plans in regard to facilities at Northwest?
You know, that's a great question. We've got a lot of facility needs. It's one of the things I talked about a lot when I got here. And we hope to hire an architect pretty soon to help us with some programming and planning some facilities, get some renderings done, some cost estimates, and then put together a funding priority list. And the university is working on a capital campaign, so could some of those be a part of that capital campaign? Absolutely. The athletic director will certainly be advocating for that. I think it's important to have a vision of where you want to go with each of those facilities, and we've got some needs, and we're going to have some facility improvements that come as quick as next year. We're not quite ready to announce what those are going to be, but I think our fans will be very exciting. So I'll tease them a little bit, and I'll come here, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. But it's going to be some improvements to at least one, and if not two or three of our facilities, that'll really enhance the fan experience.
Ren, as always, we appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Always enjoy it, and make sure you come out Saturday. We want to make sure that we give our student-athletes every advantage they can have. So thanks for having me.
Let's hear it, everyone. Athletic Director Ren Baker of Northwest Missouri State University. And when we come back, John Coffey will speak with Coach Pat McLaughlin, a head coach of the Bearcat women's golf team. We'll do that right after this one-minute timeout. You're in tune to the Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson's, right here on the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's broadcast is underwritten by Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Services include open bowling daily, lanes and cosmic bowling for all ages, as well as lane rental for special occasions. Bearcat Lanes and Lounge, located at 1803 South Main, 562-2571.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services in Maryville. Founded in 1894, St. Francis Hospital and Health Services provides health care for residents in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. 660-562-2600.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Nottoway Valley Bank, serving Northwest Missouri since 1868. Services include online banking and e-bill pay at nvb.com. Locations in Maryville, Savannah, St. Joseph, and Mound City.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. And we're joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's golf team, Pat McLaughlin. A big round of applause for Pat McLaughlin and the job he's done with this team this year.
Thank you.
Pat, a heck of a year started already. Of course, you go into spring with another season, but your fall season probably as successful as any season you've had at Northwest.
Yeah, actually, John, it is our most successful season. We've reduced our stroke average from last year when we had a lot of success by 15 strokes, which is a huge drop from last year. But we've had a great time. We've enjoyed some success against some really, really good teams. We've played some regional teams, and we've beaten every MIAA team that we've played so far. And we're looking for a challenge in the spring, as we're going to play in a lot of tournaments with a lot of really nationally ranked teams.
I think one of the things that's been fun to watch with your team is how you had such a successful spring last year, and you're able to kind of carry that through the summer with the workouts that the girls had, and then you come into the fall and really had things rolling right off the start.
You're right, John. Really, I look back, it's been about a year and a half in progress. I was thinking about this earlier today as I was looking over some stats and things for this evening, and we really started last fall. We won three competitions last fall. The girls got a lot of confidence coming into the spring season. We came into the spring season, won a couple of more, and we were just three strokes away from winning the conference championship, which was our ultimate objective. And as crazy as it sounds, I think that really was the impetus for this summer. By being successful, they wanted to continue that success. And by going into the conference and being that close, one stroke per player over 2 days, they really wanted to take the extra time this summer, get lessons, playing a lot of competitions. We had a little summer commitment program that they bought into. And when they came back this fall, I'll be honest, it was a different team. And the success shows on the golf course.
And one thing about it, even this fall, it's still a relatively young team. You're being able to do it here the last year or so, building from the ground up, and you still have a lot of young players on your squad.
We do. We're very fortunate. We have one senior, a couple of juniors, three sophomores, and a couple of freshmen, and we're growing. And I really believe this team is just going to get better. We have, of course, with the offseason and the cold weather and things like that, you don't know what to expect in the spring. But last year they came out in the spring ready to go, and I'm really looking forward to great things this spring, and it's going to be an exciting season for us.
Let's just talk about the players individually and the girls that have really been contributing, and just talk about the squad individually and what they bring to the team.
Well, one of the things in looking over these statistics, John, I notice every single player on our team from last year has reduced their stroke average. I mean, some dramatically. Christina, that you'll talk to later, she dropped her stroke average from 89 to 81. We have a couple of girls on the team right now, Steph Charteris and Cassie Lowell, whose stroke averages are in the 70s. That was just unheard of just a couple of years ago. And we've got some other girls that have returned to the team as well. Every single girl on the team has reduced their stroke average. That shows, I think, the program is going in the right direction.
Yeah, I know one of the things in talking with you throughout this fall, too, you like not only the job that they do on the course, but you like this team just to be around them as well.
I tell you what, they're a pleasure. I was sitting over there with Christina and Cassie earlier before I came up here, and someone came up and said, congratulations, coach. And I said, I'm blessed with a great team. These girls get along really well. They work really hard. They're very coachable, and I just feel like this team has not reached its potential.
And let's just talk about the program as a whole. You've been able to see this program start from the ground up when it was a club sport, and now you've moved it into a varsity sport at Northwest Missouri State. And just talk about the pride you have in watching this current group of girls grow, but just the entire program grow.
I you're right. How proud I am is exactly right. We, as a club team, worked really hard for 6 years. We changed a couple athletic directors, trying to get it to a varsity sport. We finally got it to a varsity level. We never played in a club sport tournament. It was always varsity tournaments. And I have to thank my daughter, Megan, for doing that. She's listening tonight in Hilton Head. And my other daughter is also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention everyone. She's in Fort Lauderdale listening as well with her new husband, Brian. But coming from the sport club team where you had to recruit every single semester, you had to raise funds for the travel every single year, to the position where we were competitive as a club sport with varsity teams. And then to get that fruition in and that transition into the varsity level, and you're right, you start from the ground up. You don't know what these girls bring to the table in transitioning from high school to college. And we had some bumps in the road early on. We had some success early, too. I mean, they were good golfers in their own right in high school, but once they get to college, it's a different game. And I think once the word gets out that you have a successful program, I've probably got a file of 60 girls right now that want to be a Bearcat golfer because they're excited about that possibility.
And how much fun is it, or an advantage is it, to recruit to an area where you've got a course like Mazingo that you play your home matches on, to be able to look at that out there and try to bring girls in?
Actually, I have two really good things that I can use in the recruitment process. One is Northwest itself. Our academic programs will stand out to anyone's. And, of course, when the parents come in, they want to talk academics and the girls want to talk golf. So it's a great mix between the two because they've taken a campus tour, they've heard about the academics, and being a professor myself, I strongly encourage academics. We've had All-American, academic All-American girls on the season, every season. And then when we go out to see the country club and Mazingo, and, hey, girls, this is where we practice, this is where we play, It's pretty exciting. And once the parents are happy with the academics and the safety of the campus, then they're pretty excited about the golf capabilities too.
And also when you look at your roster, you're able to get a lot of good golfers from the region, but also you've kind of gotten a little bit national and international a little bit with your team.
We have. We've been very fortunate again with the word getting out. We're right now, if memory serves me correctly, I think we only have one girl from Missouri on the golf team, and we've got a couple Canadian girls, and they performed extremely well for us. A couple from Kansas, you know, the surrounding area, but they're just not all, you know, local type girls. The word gets out, and they want to be a part of this program, and it's exciting. It really has been. And again, I would be remiss if I didn't mention my volunteer assistant coach who does so much for me, who's sitting over there too, which is Lana, who just rolled her eyes, of course. But she does a lot for the ladies as well, and I couldn't do it without her. I tell you what, she puts in hours and hours with wardrobes and doing things that, as a guy with lady players, I need.
Well, I was wondering if you were going to mention her, but so.
Absolutely. She asked me not to, so I'm in trouble.
All right. Now, as we look at the accomplishments from this past fall, obviously one of those just last week, winning the Bearcat Open in less than ideal situation weather-wise.
Definitely there.
What's it mean to now for the first time to win your own tournament as well, to kind of build on for this winner?
Once again, that has been our goal and objective, of course, for the last 6 years, is to win our home tournament. We're very familiar with the course. We're familiar with what the course does for us. And it's just kind of been that old monkey on your back. And this year, I thought, was probably our best opportunity to do that. But as a coach, you always get nervous going into that home tournament. There's a lot of parents there. There's a lot of distractions and things. But you know what? The girls came out, and despite the distractions with the weather, they came out and played really well the first day. And you always like people trying to chase you rather than chase somebody else. And Missouri Western had beaten us the last 2 years. And I'll say it publicly, it was a wonderful experience beating Missouri Western to win our first home tournament, I guarantee you.
All right. And as far as off-season, as you want to build for the spring season and keep this momentum going, what are some of the things you want your girls to do between now and the start of the spring season?
Well, one of the things they're going to continue doing is working out with Joe Quinlan. They work out three times a week with him and do special kinds of workouts for their core. And they've also gotten stronger. They're lifting some weights and doing some things. And I've noticed in the distances that they've been able to hit the ball. And they're going to continue doing those things. And then we have the Booster Club did a great job. They bought us a golf simulator. So we actually have a setup where we can do an indoor practice facility. We can not just hit in the nets now. We can do some putting, some driving, and actually play some holes with the golf simulator. And I think that was really helpful last year when we went into the spring. And I can see the girls using that facility even more this year as we plan for the very difficult spring competition season.
All right. Well, Pat, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, John. I've really enjoyed it.
All right.
Thank
you. That's the head coach of the Northwest Women's Golf Team, Pat McLaughlin. And when we come back, we'll hear from a couple of his players that have had a good seasons this year and from last spring as well. Rodney will talk to them coming up right after this timeout as you're listening to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Back with more after this on KXCV KRNW.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Today's game is being underwritten on the Bearcat Radio Network by national investors and Northwest alumni, RGO Smith and Greg Wilson. Services include asset protection and retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. National investors with a national office in Redfield, Iowa.
Today's game is underwritten by Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, and business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information from Shelter Insurance agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Jonathan Miller of Mound City. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by Mr. Goodsense in Maryville, serving sub sandwiches, hot pastas, salads, soups, and sides. Delivery service is also provided. Mr. Goodsense at 121 South Main in Maryville, 582-2368.
Welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show, live here at Carson Sports Grill in Maryville that we hold every Thursday at 6 o'clock. Tell your friends, we'd like to see you here. It's now time for our Meet Your Bearcat Student Athletes segment, one of my favorites each and every week. And it's my pleasure to introduce to you, all the way from Windsor, Ontario, junior chemistry major and member of the Bearcat women's golf team, Christina DeAngela. Let's give her a nice round of applause. Christina, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Talk a little bit about first, how'd you end up in Maryville, Missouri?
Well, I went through a recruiting process in about the end of August of my senior year, going into my senior year, and came down here. I went to visit other schools in like Rockhurst and Nebraska and all those kind, and I just loved the atmosphere of Northwest. Just coming here, and like, it was such a beautiful campus, and people were just so polite, and I loved it.
Talk about it. You know, how'd you get started in golf? Did you play in high school? Or?
I didn't start till my freshman year of high school, and I'd have to thank my father for that. He got me into it, and I just ever played ever since. Just got really serious about it and just kept practicing a lot.
Were you involved in other sports while in high school?
I did track and field.
Okay. Talk a little bit about your impressions of the Bearcat Classic. You won the thing for the first time in school history, and you got yourself in the top 10.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the tournament.
It was cold, I'd have to admit. Being from up north, it was pretty cold. But it was a lot of fun. We were happy to be leading after day one, and we had a lot of great scores day one, and we shot even better scores the second day. So we couldn't be even happier, like, how well we played, and all of our hard work really paid off.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but what, the Ottawa Invitational, you won that thing?
I did. Me and Steph, my roommate, or the other Canadian, both won it.
Okay, talk a little bit about that tournament. Just everything clicking?
Yeah, everything clicked. I had been shooting really well up into it, and I knew that I could do it. And it was beautiful course, nice days. We didn't have a lot of layers on, so it was nice to swing without all the layers. But we did really well, and everything was clicking really well.
You know, unlike a lot of sports, you have not only a fall season, but then you have a spring season. How will you get yourself ready here in the off season as fall has just concluded, but get ready for spring?
When I go home at Christmas, I bring my clubs back with me, and we have a lot of indoor facilities where we can actually see the ball where it's going outside. So I take full advantage of that and using that every day and going to see my coach back home and using that. And then for sure I'll be using the simulator. And then as soon as weather starts, there's no snow on the ground, I will be out there hitting balls and playing.
You know, it seems like, you know, your team, boy, everybody's bunched together, you know. Everybody from top to bottom is really, really good. Talk a little bit about the team chemistry and maybe the competition that drives you between, you know, your teammates.
Yeah, especially between, like, our top five. Like, we're all just so close, and we all just love each other, and we have so much inside jokes, and we just have so much fun, and it just keeps us together, and we always just say good shot to each other, and we just love each other, and it's just so much fun to be around. And we just, like, drive one another and just say, okay, you're aiming this way, you're aiming wrong, and we help each other. So,
well, we'll switch gears a little bit and get away from golf maybe for a little bit. Talk about your major and your plans for the future.
I am a chemistry major, and I have a minor in biology. I hope to attend grad school, leaning towards organic chemistry to get my PhD in it. And I'm not sure what I want to do after that. Okay. So that's the road.
Okay. How about your favorite music? What do you like to listen to?
I got to say, I've been turned into a little bit of a country girl since being here. It's been listening to my ear, church. It's been a little bit different, but I like it a lot now. So starting to wear my cowboy boots that I recently purchased. So
talk a little bit about maybe your favorite meal. Now, that's a favorite topic of the football team. Some of those guys, boy, they just came up with something right away. But what's your favorite type of food?
Mom's lasagna.
Okay, so Mom makes a real
okay,
dish of lasagna.
And I have the appetite of five football players, so I could probably give them a run for their money.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How about your most treasured possession?
Ooh, that's a good one. Most treasured possession. Probably the first trophy I've ever won for golf when I was in grade 10, and I had just started, and I just was so happy that I won something. I don't even think I played well, but I won something, and I was just so happy.
How about any nicknames? Do teammates or friends? Do you have any nicknames?
I get called Canadian a lot down here. My nickname back home, my little brother couldn't pronounce my name when I was little, so he called me Nina a lot. So I have that nickname, and then I get called just K a lot, just my first initial.
Okay, final question. I ask this to everybody each week. What's the one thing that might surprise us to know about Christina?
That I sleep with my eyes open.
Wow. Is that spooky for your roommate?
They laugh.
Christina, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christina DeAngela of the Bearcat Women's Golf Team. When we come back, we'll talk with Cassie Lowell up next, right here on the Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson's on the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass & Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. Located at 5th and Buchanan, 582-3131, or at maryvilleglassandlock.com. Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Sports on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Bearcat Booster Club, assisting the athletic department in funding improvements and providing equipment for the various teams. The Bearcat Booster Club, 562-1713.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, whose services encourage people to live, work, and do business in Nottoway County, providing regional employment, health care, and educational opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development, with more information at maryvillemo.org.
Welcome back, everyone. We're now joined by one of the leaders of the Bearcat golf team from Concordia, Kansas. Please welcome junior journalism and public relations major Cassie Lowell. Cassie, thanks for being with us. And how about your team? It must have been pretty special, all the accomplishments that you did this fall.
It was. We were all very proud of each other. We went out to win the tournaments, and that's what we did. It helps when we all click together, and we're all really close friends, so that definitely makes it easier.
Talk, I asked Christine the same question, but give us your impressions of the Bearcat Classic. I know that was something that, you know, for the last couple, two or three years anyway, that you've really wanted to win, and you did so for the first time.
Yes, we definitely were set out to beat Mo West, and we accomplished that, so that was good. it was cold, as Christina said, very cold. The weather conditions were not ideal, but we've played in that before, and so we just had to focus on our game, and it was a great feeling to win it as a team.
Talk a little bit, you know, golf is a team sport, but yet it's a really individual sport. I mean, you'll go out there and you'll face, anywhere from one to three other girls in your foursome, that kind of thing, going head-to-head with them, but you're going head-to-head with the entire field. You talked a little bit about the problems with the weather, but how do you prepare yourself physically and mentally? Maybe the big thing is mentally in golf. Talk a little bit about that.
It's definitely a mental game. You have to try to not set out to play against the competition, but rather play against the course and focus on your own shot. So I think that if you're mentally prepared for it, it's going to definitely help out a lot. And the same with the girls that you play with, you just have to try to not worry about their scores. Think more about your next shot and your score.
Now, you've had a real successful season so far also, and in that Bearcat Classic, you came in second. You led after the first day, I think, in that one. But you've been real successful in these other tournaments as well. Talk a little bit about those.
I've definitely had a much more consistent season this year. My high score was 83, which I wasn't happy with, but it was definitely a lower score for my highest score. The tournaments I won, as Christina said, with the one she won, it clicked. And when everything's clicking, it's definitely a good feeling, and you know you're going to have a good day.
You know, I look around the room, and I see some golfers in here, and they're probably dying to know. Bob, for one, you know, is probably dying to know how you drop your stroke average as much as you have over the course of just the last couple of years.
Practice, that's all I can say. I've also actually kind of worked on I can be a mental case on the golf course sometimes. So I try to work on focusing on my next shot rather than how I'm going to finish in the tournament. But practice is the key.
Okay, we'll move away from golf. And we'll talk now a little bit about your – tell us about your major and maybe your future plans.
Well, I'm not sure what I want to do. I came here as a journalism major. It's something I did in high school, and I loved it. When I got here, I kind of realized I wanted to add more onto it. And I'd taken some communication classes, and I just kind of decided that I wanted to try the public relations. I love to work with people, so I don't know what I want to do yet. I'm planning on minoring in advertising as well. So it's kind of a mix of things that I can hopefully find a job with. That's going to be the one thing that's the goal in mind, just finding a job.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about your favorite music. Are you a country fan?
Yes. I definitely am. I came from a small town in Kansas, so a lot of country music was listened to. I listen to about everything, but country's the main one.
How about your favorite meal? Is that a specialty from back home or something else?
Not really. I'm a very big pasta fan, so mostly any kind of pasta.
Okay. How about treasured possession?
That's a hard one. I'd have to say a quilt that my grandma made for me when I was a baby. It's at home because I didn't want to bring it here or anything, but it's definitely treasured.
How about your worst, or maybe your favorite, and then your worst job that you've ever had?
My worst job? Before I was 16 or anything, I was still 15. My family owns a newspaper at home. I had to, every Sunday and Wednesday, I had to go down and clean it. So that wasn't very fun. But other than that, I've only had, well, at home I worked at the movie theater and I loved it. And here I work out at Mazingo at the golf course and I love it. So can't complain.
How about any nicknames? Has your teammates or your friends here at school given you any nicknames?
I don't think so.
No. You're just Cassie.
Just Cassie.
Okay. Okay. The finale here. The thing that would surprise us to know about Cassie Lowell.
I'm very superstitious, and I always have to wear mismatching socks.
Is that right? Every day or just during golf?
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah, it got to the point where my mom for Christmas now, there's stores that you can buy socks that none of them match, and she buys me those.
Wow. Thank you very much, Cassie, for joining us, and congratulations on a great year and your preparations for the spring season.
Thank you.
Let's give it up for Cassie Lowell, one of the leaders of the Bearcat women's golf team. When we come back, we're going to be talking, or John's going to be visiting with Coach Adam Dorrell. We'll do that right after this 60-second timeout. You're in tune to the Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson Sports Grill in Maryville, right here on the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's Bearcat Radio Network broadcast is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice at 119 East 4th in Maryville. More information available at 660-582-7196.
This broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you by the Northwest Medical Center of Albany, Missouri. The Northwest Medical Center offers ambulatory and general surgery, cardiac rehabilitation, dietary counseling, and occupational therapy at 705 North College in Albany, Missouri. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from A&G Restaurant in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering located at 208 North Main in Maryville. More information available at agrestaurant.com. Today's broadcast is brought to you by MTE Office Center with locations in Maryville and Cameron, providing computers, printing, networking, furniture, and office supplies since 1935. MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811 South Walnut in Cameron.
And welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell.
Thank you, John, for clapping, and Rodney, thank you. Nick, Don't put your hamburger down to clap. You're okay.
Hey, let's just talk about this past week. Another huge win for you over Central Oklahoma, 70-7, the final score in that one. And when you look at a game like that against a Central Oklahoma team that came in with one win, that being over Washburn, but really struck early and often in that matchup. What are the main things when you look back at that game that come to mind from last Saturday?
Well, I think the big thing that registers to me, we were just ready to play football. You know, it was kind of a gloomy day. We were just laughing before we came on air. There was maybe, they listed 1,100 as attendance. No way. They had the Little League parking lot up there. It was full, but there was maybe 300 people there. So I was just proud of our kids because they were ready to play, and they got off the bus, and they were ready to go. That's the thing that really stands out in my mind.
Hey, when you talk about the attendance of the game, I thought it had a pretty good representation from Northwestern.
Yeah, absolutely. We were great. It was just the home side was lacking a little bit.
Offensively, obviously, a lot of points on the board, 70 points. And as you look at the first half, you got things off to a good start with back-to-back 61-yard touchdown passes from Trevor Adams to Tyler Shaw. Have you ever had a situation where you had back-to-back 61-yarders?
No, I've never had that before. I think, you know, you go into a game and you're looking at a few things, and we were doing our check with me stuff based out of trips, and we thought maybe we could get Tyler up the pipe, and just Trevor was just made an awesome play-action fake, and the safety on the hash bit over the top, and we got Tyler up the pipe, and then we came back the second time and ran the same play. You know, it's a run pass check, and I thought, well, maybe they're probably not going to put the safety that far into the boundary, and sure enough, they did. And man, the second time he was really wide open. So no, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I don't think they made very many adjustments.
No, they didn't. It really, you know, that's one of those things you kind of get into the game, and you know, it's tough a little bit because we get up tempo, and you really got to have guys up in the box. Telling them what's going on, and you know they really didn't. I thought late in the second quarter they finally started adjusting a little bit to our trips.
Now in the third quarter you also had a situation you don't see every day. You ended up with I think three touchdowns with only one offensive play at that particular point.
Yeah. Anytime you score in all phases in a football offense, defense, and special teams, and we did that Saturday. It's probably going to be a really good day for you. And you know, I told you after the game, I didn't realize we only threw 12 passes, and I just felt bad for like John Hinchy. He had a great week of practice. He didn't catch a ball. Bryce Young, same thing. You know, had a great week of practice, never caught a football. So, you know, those are just things that really aren't registering with us during the game. We chart, you know, our playmakers, make sure Jordan and James and Tyler are getting enough touches. But other than that, it's just one of those things. You look at the statistics at half, and I looked at them, and you know, your plan is to come out in half and try to utilize those guys a little bit, but we just never really got that opportunity.
We talked about only throwing 12 passes. You completed 10 of those, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
It happens to be player of the week.
Yeah, it was. And I just, you know, again, I'm just very proud of him and happy for his success the last couple of weeks. You know, just what he went through when he was injured. And he's come back, and he's just really, really confident right now. He had a great week of practice, and we're very excited about Saturday. We're real excited. It's going to be really slow from here on out. When you get Thursday's practice over, it's just kind of like, is it time to play yet? So we're really excited about getting to the game.
Now, last week as well, you had the special teams player of the week and Jordan Simmons. Jordan, another big game, 90-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, and scored through the air, scored on the ground as well with a rushing touchdown, as well as a nice catch for a score as well. So Jordan had an all-around good game for you.
He really did, John. It's been interesting to watch him progress through his career. And I think we're up to 29. I think we've had 29 NFL teams on campus this fall, and looking at a few of our guys. But the thing that just resonates with me, every one of them will come into my office and be like, man, the kid, he's a punt returner, kick returner. You can line him up in a slot. He's a tailback. And just his ball skills, it's just for a kid to do what he does, to be able to catch the football, run the football, I think – you know, sometimes people just think that's the norm, you know, for Northwest football. His skill set, it's very special, and we're very lucky to have him here at Northwest.
Northwest has had a number of great return men through the years. You go back Tony Miles and all the way through. But Jordan set a record, MIAA record, with his fourth kickoff return for a touchdown on Saturday.
He did. And, you know, like I said, I didn't know that till you guys told me that. I didn't even know it was coming. And, we're very proud of him. He's done a really good job, and he's a guy that I'd give a lot of credit to his kick return team. And he's a guy since he was young that's produced for Northwest, and it's we're going to miss him when he's gone.
Well, still got him for a while.
Yeah. right. Absolutely.
Now, defensively, another game where you only gave up one touchdown in the matchup. This one coming in the third quarter with Central Oklahoma. Defense has really been there all season long. What in this past game were you most pleased about with the defense?
Well, like you said, our defense and special teams have been there all year long. But just watching our defense right now, they just playing with a ton of energy, and we're playing a lot of guys. We got Clark Snodgrass back Saturday, and we talked about that in our post game interview. I mean, having Clark back gives us a ton of freedom, gives Kenny a ton of freedom in the back end. He can move Travis back to corner, and then we can kick one of the Dixons down to our nickelback, and that's going to be very important for us Saturday. If we can get him into third and medium, third and long, that's going to help us out a lot. But they've just been so solid, and our coaching staff has done a great job with those guys. And when I watch them, the thing that I'm just so pleased with, we're being physical, we're stopping the run, we're not giving up big plays over the top, and we're getting pressure, what I feel. And, we've talked about every week, it's not always about sacking the quarterback. It's getting in his face and being disruptive. We have done a really good job with that, and we're not having to blitz people to do it, so you're not exposing yourself to potentially big plays in the back end. And we're playing against a great guy on Saturday, and so we got to do that again.
Yeah, so now enough about Central Oklahoma. Let's look ahead toward a pretty big matchup on Saturday. Pittsburgh State, the number one ranked team in the nation, defending national champions, and a team that you lost to twice last year, once in the playoffs, and of course a heartbreaking loss down to Arrowhead last year. How much is what took place last year playing in the mind of the guys as they prepare for Saturday's game?
Well, it probably does a little bit. I think the thing, for both our schools, and Tim would probably tell you the same thing, last year was last year, and, you move forward in your program. But you definitely go back and you review those tapes, and I know that's something that doesn't set real well with our guys. So it's always in the back of their mind.
Now, I know you're saying a little bit earlier, you've had a great week of practice, right?
We've had a really good week of practice. Our defense went Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and execution rate, I think, was right at 88-89%. We always shoot for 80%. Offensively, we're in the 84-85%. So we've had a really, really good week of practice. Todd made a finished up today with a 49-yard field goal with a wet ball. He made a 50-yard field goal on Wednesday. So good. He's punted the ball well, and he's going to have to punt well Saturday. So, yeah, we've had a really good week of practice.
Let's talk about Pittsburgh State. I think a lot of people, when you think of Pittsburgh State right now, you think of a guy out at the wide receiver position and John Brown and what he brings to the Gorilla team.
Yeah, absolutely. They're doing a lot of things offensively. They try to be balanced, but, everything they do kind of goes through John. He has 32 catches, I think, right now, and I think the next closest guy is at 15. When they need a play, they're going to go to number five. If it's third down, they're trying to go through number five. They may not always get in the ball, but they're looking his way first. If they need to change the momentum in a game, at one point they were down to Warrensburg Saturday, and they needed a play to be made, and they went to him. That's the thing to look for Saturday. When things aren't going good for them, they're going to go to number five. The tough thing, John, is they move him around so much. They do a really good job. They put him at Z. That's the wide receiver to the field. They put him at X into the boundary. They put him at slot. This year they're lining him up at tailback and motioning him out. It's just really hard to, bracket him or double coverage him. We got a pretty good beat on third down. If we can get to third medium, third and long, I think there's some things we can do to maybe try to contain him a little bit. But he's a special player. And, the key is he's going to get the ball Saturday. They're going to get him the football. We've got to tackle, and it's not just tackling. We need to be physical. We need to be violent when we tackle him, because he's not a super huge guy.
Now, they're working with a new quarterback this season. How has that changed what they try to do?
Well, I think you pronounce his name Avanero.
Right? I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably a little bit better passer than Dickey was last year, pure pocket passer. He runs efficiently. He does a really good job. I think where they're different is just pure outrunning the option. I think Dickey was better last year. I think this kid does a better job in the pass game of extending the play, keeping the play alive, keeping his eyes downfield. So, but they're probably running a little bit more spread sets and empty with this kid, but a lot of the stuff they're doing is the same.
when you look at Pittsburgh State and you compare them to Northwest on paper, you look at the various statistics that come out, and really both teams very similar in a lot of the categories.
They are. I think the only noticeable difference that I see in my mind that may play out Saturday is the punt team. You know, they're struggling with the punting game. They're playing two punters, a traditional punter that's averaging right around 38 yards, and then they're bringing a receiver in, and they do a lot of different funky punt formations, and he rugby punts, but they're only averaging right around 30 yards a punt. So, to me, that's the only noticeable really difference statistically, defensively, offensively. We're very similar, but in the punt game, that's kind of where I think we can make some hay Saturday.
What are you looking at when you try to line up against their defense on Saturday?
Well, they do a good job. You know, they play two safety look. They got an All-American linebacker who's a two-year All-American. He's a senior. You know, he's going to play in the NFL. Very good football player. And a lot of what they do goes through him. What I've really noticed on film this year, they're giving him a lot of freedom to check blitzes and get them out of blitzes if the other teams check. And so, you know, the key for us is try to block him, get up to level two and be physical with him. You know, Toka's back, Gus Toka out of Kansas City. They got a kid who plays defensive ends, very good player. And, you know, they're just solid. That's the word I've used all week. You know, other than John Brown, they're just maybe not another guy that's that flashy, but they're just very solid across the board, you know, and that's a Pitt State football team. Tim does a great job. They're a very fundamentally sound team. They tackle well. Traditionally, they haven't been turning the ball over well, and they try to be balanced. So it's going to be a good game.
And we talk about turnovers. That's something that Northwest has had a lot of success with the last 3 to 4 weeks, where you turn the turnovers into points.
Yeah, and we're going to need that Saturday. It's something we've talked about as a football team. And, you know, there's probably a pretty good chance it's going to rain. And you just have to focus. Your mental focus in a game where it's wet, it's got to be double. You know, you've got to take care of the football. You got to make sure you have it in the proper hand. You got to cover it up in traffic. And, you know, I'm excited about watching our defense. Hopefully we can get a few more of those turnovers. And, you know, we've done a really good job of, after those turnovers, capitalizing with points and just being aggressive. I told our guys that all week. We don't have anything to lose. They're the number one team in the nation, and they haven't had a conference loss, and we just need to go down there and be very aggressive.
You feel like your team's got a lot of confidence right now going into this?
I do. We feel very confident. Our kids are very excited about Saturday, and you know, our seniors, I'm so proud of our seniors. We spend a lot of time starting in January just trying to develop our seniors, and their leadership has been awesome. It's just really shown this week. And, you know, I've been coaching for 15 years, I think, and just the look they have in their eye right now, they're very confident and they're very hungry.
All right, and let's talk about the venue just a little bit and what it means to play this game down at Arrowhead.
It means a ton. You know, I think the thing that maybe the fans don't understand is, this year it's considered our home game, so we're going to have approximately 82 potential student-athletes at Arrowhead. And most of them are from the Kansas City, Kansas area. We've got some kids coming from Omaha. We've got some of our best St. Louis kids coming. And, you know, start with the Kansas City kids. Those kids grow up and they're Chiefs fans. And the fact that you put them in the Chiefs locker room, that we will dress Saturday in the Kansas City Chiefs locker room, and those kids get a chance to come in here. And, man, they light up. And so it's huge from a recruiting standpoint. You know, financially, it's very beneficial, not just for Northwest football, for our athletic department. You know, we split that. The athletic department takes that and splits it up. So financially, it's a huge gain for us. And just from a kid's standpoint, at the end of the day, you know, when it gets down to recruiting potentially against some other schools, you know, you got that in your favor. It's good. And the last thing I'll probably add, you know, if you're fortunate enough to make the playoffs, I've always felt that game has helped us in the playoffs because it's a big venue. It's very loud. And I think our kids grow from that game.
All right, we've got time for a couple questions here from the crowd. And one here deals with the weather situation on Saturday. The forecast doesn't look like it could be the best in the world. And question, what happens if it hails? Do they call the players inside? And what is with inclement weather, how do you handle that?
Sure. Well, you know, I think the thing you got to be a little bit careful of as coach is not to overdo that a little bit. But the things that we've done is, you know, I saw that Monday right away. We practiced with a wet ball all week. We literally dip it in water, and he's been throwing a ball all week. Our ball carriers are having to hold it. You know, our kickers are kicking a wet ball. You start there. That helps. But basically, I think we're going to be good unless it lightnings. If they lightning, I was talking with Coach McLaughlin, then they're going to clear everybody into the concourse, and they can stay in there. But, you know, the other things we've done, I've talked to the Chiefs equipment manager. He was 25 years with the Chiefs. Arrowhead's got a good footing. You know, as long as if it rains all day and it rains during the game, at some point in time that thing's going to get sloppy and you're going to need to move to screw-in cleats. And, you know, our kids got two pairs of shoes. They've got their molded cleats and their screw-in cleats. So after that, I'm not going to talk about it. Our motto is improvise, adapt, overcome, and if it's raining, that's what you're going to have to do on Saturday to get a W.
All right, AD, thanks a lot for being with us, and good luck on Saturday.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Grohl. Bearcats in Kansas City on Saturday, the Fall Classic at Arrowhead. Again, that will be a 4 o'clock kickoff. If you can't make it down to Arrowhead, you can hear the game on KXCV KRNW beginning at 3 o'clock with Bearcat Game Day. We'll have all the play-by-play right here on KXCV as well as the Bearcat Radio Network. So, again, that's coming up on Saturday. And don't forget, the Alumni Association also has a special event down at Light and Power tomorrow night beginning at 7 o'clock to get the weekend off to a good start. Thanks to everyone involved with their broadcast tonight here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Thanks to head coach Adam Dorrell, also Northwest women's golf coach Pat McLaughlin, also Rodney Harris here tonight from KXCV KRNW. And that'll do it for our coaches show this week. We'll be back here again next Thursday beginning at 6 o'clock. For everyone involved with the show, I'm John Coffey, and so long until next week.
From the campus of Northwest Missouri State University, you're listening to 90.5 KXCV Maryville and 88.9 KRNW Chillicothe.
Couldn't help but go his own way, and the world wasn't entirely ready for that way.
He was Robert Schumann. Pianist Jonathan Biss loves the dreamy, romantic quality of Schumann's music. He's been joining us this week to highlight a few aspects of Schumann's life and music, and to play for us as well. From APM, American Public Media, it's Performance Today. I'm Fred Child. Coming up, Jonathan Biss talks about Robert Schumann's intense awareness of the composers who came before him and his awareness of his own shortcomings in comparison to composers like Beethoven. Jonathan Biss and music by Robert Schumann on the way this hour.